لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue reading in the chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب صفة صلاة النبي, the chapter of the description of the prayer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the author he mentioned several narrations, and he closes this chapter with the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. The author, he says, عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال اعتدلوا في السجود, to be upright and proper in the sujood, ولا يبسط أحدكم ذراعيه بساط الكلب, and one of you must not extend his arms in the manner the dog extends his arms. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, اعتدلوا في السجود, to be upright and proper, and in the manner legislated in the sujood. Al-i'tidal, it means linguistically al-istiwa, or al-istiqama, to be upright and to be set straight and proper. Al-i'tidal في الشرع هو فعل الشيء وفق الشرع. Al-i'tidal, it means to do something in according to it means to do something in accordance to the legislation. But here we see it is al-i'tidal fi sujood, and this means to perform the prostration with al-i'tidal, with moderation and in a proper manner, that it should be performed in an upright manner, and that means in accordance to the legislation, in accordance to the sharia, and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has decreed legislatively. The people of knowledge, they mention here that al-i'tidal fi sujood, to be upright in the sujood, this means to perform the sujood in the proper manner by placing all of the seven body parts that one is commanded to prostrate upon on the ground properly and firmly. Those seven body parts that had come previously, that we have read alhamdulillah in the narration of Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَسْجُودَ عَلَى سَبَعَةِ عَظُمٍ, and in one narration, عَلَى سَبَعَةِ أَعْضَاءٍ, that I have been commanded to prostrate on seven bones, or on seven body parts. He mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, الْجَبْهَ وَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ, and he mentioned the forehead, and he pointed to his nose. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indicating that this is one body part, the forehead and the nose, they come together. وَالْيَدَيْنِ وَالْرُكْبَتَيْنِ وَأَطْرَافِ الْقَدَمَيْنِ, and the two hands, and likewise the two knees, and then the ends of the feet, and the toes, and meaning the toes, the two ends of the feet, the ends of the two feet, meaning the toes, that these are the body parts of prostration, and all of these body parts, they must be placed firmly on the ground. And we have seen some of the narrations likewise clarifying the manner the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would prostrate. So therefore, al-i'tidal fi sujood, and to be upright in a proper manner in the prostration, is to prostrate according to the legislation and according to that which was displayed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here, using the word al-i'tidal, meaning to be upright, is referring to, as the people of knowledge mention, irtifa'u al-asafil ala al-a'ali. Irtifa'u al-asafil ala al-a'ali. That the lower parts will be raised above the higher parts, meaning that, for example, the head is the highest part of the body, and then likewise after that the shoulders and the likes, that these are the highest parts of the body whenever a person he is standing. But in sujood, what is required is for those body parts that are normally high on the body, for those body parts that are normally high on an individual, that they will be lower. And like, for example, the back and the bottom of an individual, at this time these body parts will be raised high. So therefore, the back will be set up straight and erected, and it will be higher than the head and the shoulders. And in this manner, a person, he is prostrating properly and making al-i'tidal in the sujood. Making al-i'tidal in the sujood. And we see here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he coupled the ruling with the mention of the wisdom behind that and the reason. And this is that one should not extend his arms in the manner that a dog does. That if a person, he did not make i'tidal and prostrate in the proper manner, and performed this act of worship in the proper manner, he would be resembling a dog. And this is what some people, they do whenever they make their prostration. They will place their hands and their arms on the ground altogether. And this is what is prohibited here. And this is called iftirash. Dhira'ayni, or inbisat al-dhira'ayni, inbisat al-kalbi, or iftirash al-sabu'. And this likewise has preceded, that it's not permissible for a person whenever he makes sujood and goes into prostration that he will lay his hands and his forearms all on the ground together. That this is not proper, and rather this is in resemblance to the dog and to those animals that have four legs and the likes like this. They lay their hands and arms all flat on the ground. And likewise, whenever one does that, a lot of times you will find that his belly and his stomach is touching his thighs, and he'll be bunched up together. And this is a sign of laziness in the prostration. And this is a sign of laziness in the prostration. And in any case, this is something that is prohibited. This is something that is prohibited. So therefore, a believer, whenever he prostrates, he will prostrate according to that which has come in the narrations. And this is by placing those seven body parts firmly on the ground. And likewise, it has proceeded also from the Haditha Ibn Buhayna, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would separate his arms from his side. And he would take his arms from his side in the sujood, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until they were able to see his underarms and his armpits, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, we have seen from the hadith of Maymuna, radiyallahu anha, that he would, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would distance his arms from his side to the extent that, and he would raise his body in an extent while he's in the sujood, that if an animal, a small sheep, wanted to crawl underneath him, it could go underneath him. It could go underneath him. This means that he's not laying on himself in the sujood, and he's not leaning his stomach on his thighs, nor his thighs on the on his calves and the likes like this, but rather every body part is separate and raised off of the other body part, showing true humility and humbleness, and performing the prostration with al-i'tidal, yani according to the legislation, and giving each body part its right and its portion that it deserves from the act of worship, from the act of worship. So we see that the people of knowledge, they have mentioned rahimahumullahu ta'ala about the affair of al-i'tidal fi sujood, to have moderation, or al-i'tidal, to be upright and proper in the prostration. This means to make tamkeen al-a'dha as-sab'a kulliha min al-ard, that those seven body parts, the seven body parts of prostration, they will all be placed firmly on the ground. And they are the forehead, along with the nose, and the hands, and the knees, and the toes. They will be facing the Qibla. The toes, they will be facing the Qibla, and likewise the hands. And in this manner, a person, he can make al-i'tidal. This is the first step, that these body parts, they must all be on the ground firmly. They must all be on the ground firmly. And this is the manner. But likewise, along with that, to clarify the intent from al-i'tidal and to perform the prostration accordingly and properly, likewise, one will take his hands and he will distance them one from the other. That his hands will not be close together, and likewise, neither will his arms be close to his side. Rather, he will take his arms away from his side, and he will take his hands away from each other, and there will be distance, and his elbows will be raised high, and his fingers will be together facing the Qibla. So therefore, he will place his face on the ground, his forehead and his nose, and he will place his hands on the ground with his fingers facing the Qibla together. And he will move his arms away from his sides and move his hands away from each other likewise. And the people of knowledge mentioned that which has come in the narrations, that either his hands will be parallel to the ears or parallel to the shoulders on the ground. And the arms will be away from the side and the elbows will be raised high in this manner. And likewise, the knees will be on the ground firmly, but also the stomach will be raised off the thighs. The stomach will be raised off of the thighs. And likewise, the thighs will be raised off the calves. and likewise the thighs will be raised off the calves. So therefore, we see that the tajafi, it occurs. You need to take, tajafi means to distance something, meaning the hands will be distanced from each other, and the arms will be distanced from the side, and likewise the stomach will be distanced from the thighs, and also the thighs will be distanced from the calves. And also what has come in the narrations as well, that the knees will be distance as well. The knees will be distance as well. So the knees will not be next to each other, but rather there will be a distance between them. And likewise, the stomach will not be leaning on the thighs, rather he will raise his stomach off his thighs. And likewise, his thighs will not be leaning on his calves, but rather he will raise his thighs off of his calves as well. And as for the feet, then they will be erected, and the toes will be facing the Qibla, and the heels will be placed together. And the heels will be placed together. This is al-i'tidal in the sujood. This is what it means to have al-i'tidal in the sujood. So we see, with regards to placing the heels together, the majority of the scholars, they mentioned that likewise they should be distance. The majority of the ulama, they mentioned that likewise the heels and the feet should have distance between them. But what has come in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha is that she was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at night time, and she was sleeping, and she woke up and she was looking for him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she did not see him because of how dark it was in the room, and they didn't have lights in those times. So she's searching for him, and she says, radiallahu anha, فَوَجَدْتُهُ سَاجِدًا رَاصًا عَقِبَيْهِ مُسْتَقْبِلًا بِأَطْرَافِ أَصَابِعِهِ الْقِبْلَةَ. She said, so I found him. I was looking for him, and I found him. I found him, and he is in prostration. I found him in prostration, and his heels were together. And his heels were together, and his toes were facing the Qibla, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this narration has been authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And likewise, in one wording of the narration, she searched for him, radiyallahu anha, and she placed her hand on his heels together. She found him in sujood and placed her hand on his heels. And in order for a person's hand to touch both of the heels of an individual, they would have to be placed together. So based upon this, many of the people of knowledge from them, Shaykh Uthaymeen and likewise Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahumallahu ta'ala, and other than them, have clarified that the sunnah with regards to the feet in sujood is that they will be coupled together, that the heels will be coupled together. So we see again, and I repeat, the issue here in the description of the sujood and the meaning of al-i'tidal fi sujood, i'tadilu fi sujood, the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, this requires for a person to put all those seven body parts on the ground properly. The forehead and the nose must be on the ground firmly. And likewise, both of the palms must be on the ground firmly. And the knees, they must be on the ground firmly, as well as the feet and the toes, they will face the Qibla. But to further clarify the proper manner, this also means that along with placing the nose and the forehead firmly on the ground and the hands firmly on the ground, one will separate between his hands, and he will gather his fingers together and face the Qibla with them. The fingers will face the Qibla, and his hands will be on the ground either parallel to his shoulders or parallel to his ears. And likewise, his arms, they will not be close to his side, but rather they will be distanced from his side, and his elbows will be lifted up high. And it also has preceded that this is the sunnah, but in the case of one praying in a row with others, that he will not do that to the extent that he would harm others. Rather, he will do that to the extent to where he does not harm others. And if he's not able to do that because of how tight or narrow their ranks are and the likes like this, then he will just have to leave the sunnah. But as for if he's praying by himself or he's praying in a manner that he could do it partially, he would do it in the manner that is proper without hurting others in the row. But whenever he's praying alone, he will do that properly. He will move his arms away from his side, and he will raise his elbows in this manner. And also the knees, they will be placed firmly on the ground as well. But a person, he will raise his back and raise his belly off of his thighs. And also he will raise his thighs off of his calves. So therefore he's prostrating firmly on the knees. His hands are firmly on the ground. In this manner, by raising them up, he's not lazy, and he's not laying on the ground or part of his body laying on other parts of his body. He's not gathered up and bunched up, but rather that these body parts are placed firmly in this manner. The forehead gets its portion of worship placed firmly with the nose on the ground. Likewise, in this manner, the hands, they're placed firmly on the ground in submission. And also in this manner, the knees, they're firmly on the ground. A person, he's raised up in this manner, and his head is low and his back is up in this manner, which is prescribed and legislated, which has come in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His stomach is not touching his thighs, and his thighs are not touching the calves, and the knees are firmly on the ground, and likewise his heels are together, and they're erected, and the toes are facing the qibla, and the toes are firmly on the ground facing the qibla at this time. Alhamdulillah, he is performing the prostration بالاعتدال المأمور به في هذا الحديث, and الاعتدال, and then with moderation in the proper way, and in the upright way that is intended in this narration. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ولا يبسط أحدكم ذراعيه انبساط الكلب, and do not stretch or extend your arms in the manner the dog does. The manner the dog does. We see here that this is a prohibition from imitating the animals. And we have been prohibited in many narrations from imitating the animals. Yani, especially in the prayer. And there has come many narrations clarifying this issue. For example, we have been prohibited from making al-buruk, kaburuk al-ba'ir, from going down from the standing position to the sujood in the manner that the camel, he falls on the ground. We have been prohibited from this. And likewise, we have been prohibited from looking around like the way the fox does in salat, iltifat, kiltifati al-tha'lab. And likewise, we have been prohibited from iftirash, كافتراش الكلب والسبع, from laying the arms down in the manner of these ferocious animals, or from the manner like the dogs and the likes like this, like is mentioned in this narration. And likewise, we have been prohibited from كإقعاء الكلب, from sitting in the sitting position in the manner the dog sits. And we have seen that likewise, that this prohibition here in the narration, it was mentioned as عقبة الشيطان, but likewise it is known as إقعاء الكلب as well, sitting down with the feet spread apart, and a person setting his bottom on the ground between his legs in this manner like this. And likewise, we have been prohibited in the prayer as well from an-naqr, kanaqri al-ghurab, from poking the ground the way that the crow pokes the ground. And likewise, we have been prohibited from raf'i al-aidi ka'adhnab al-khayl, from raising the hands and waving the hands the way the horses wave their tails, meaning at the time of making salam, and this is something that a believer he'll be aware of. And some people, they do this whenever they make salam, they turn their heads to the right and they move their hands and wave their hands to the right. Then if they turn their heads to the left, they wave their hands to the left. All of this, there is a prohibition with regards to this. And likewise, from lowering the head and stretching the neck down while one is in ruku' in the manner of a donkey and the likes like this. These issues have come the clarification that it's not permissible for a believer to imitate these animals in this manner, especially in the time of this noble act of worship, especially in a salah. As-San'ani rahimahullah ta'ala, who is the author of Subul As-Salam, the explanation of Bulugh Maram, he has gathered these affairs here in several lines of poetry, any of these affairs that it's permissible to imitate the animals with regards to in the prayer. And he has mentioned some lines of poetry, and he said, Rahimallahu ta'ala, إذا نحن قمنا للصلاة فإننا نهينا عن الاتيان فيها بستة بروك بعيد ملتفات كثعلب ونقر غراب في سجود الفريضة وقعاء كلب أو كبسط ذراعيه وأذناب خير عند فعل التحية وزدنا كتدبيح الحمار بمده لعنق وتسويب لرأس بركعتي. And he mentioned these affairs here in that manner. And this is a benefit that people of knowledge, they mention, yani, from the book Subul As-Salam. And we close with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.